We all have a story like this one in Genesis. It made the Bible study this week chuckle, the pointing the fingers, placing blame on others, refusing responsibility. I wish that I could say this only happens in politics, but it is just a part of our DNA, isn't it? We want to justify. We want to be right no matter what. And sometimes we even do this without thinking about it. Well, they pushed my buttons. He just didn't listen to what I said. She's being so stubborn. I was only following directions. I was tricked. It's not my fault. I am not the problem here. It's so easy to point fingers and go on the defense and refuse to listen. We wear each other down until we each have our own corner. We may be alone, but our ego is protected. And all of it begins with Adam and Eve and a talking snake. The Peace Table Story Bible puts it this way. The snake says this: take the fruit and you will be like God. You will judge right from wrong. If Eve hadn't taken this fruit, Bert or Ernie certainly would. Each of us eventually takes the fruit. I don't think the point is that we take the fruit. I think it's what we do with it once we have the knowledge, once we've made that choice, once we've gotten a glimpse of judgment, of being in the seat of control, we realize what a volatile, naked, exposed place it is to be. Yes, we have the power to judge, but now we also know that everyone else is judging. We feel so inadequate. And so we run under the covers like our poor dog on the bulletin cover for today. Because who wants to be that vulnerable? And when our first mode of defense, of hiding, doesn't work, we hide behind our ego. Adam says, well, she gave it to me. Eve says, it's the snake's fault. And around and around and around we go. Sin, fancy church word for you, is really about this. We think we know better. We know better than God. We know better than everyone else around us. I come first, and I'm all that matters. My Lutheran Confessions professor, Dr. Wanger, described it as the belly button disease. Sin keeps us focused on our favorite opera, me, me, me. And we are curved, so all we can see is our belly buttons. And the best part about it is we think that we're just fine. But this is where we have to start. We admit that we don't have it all together, that we might not actually know all the things. We might actually be at fault. We don't have control. We do things we ought not to do, and we leave things undone. Which is why we start almost every Sunday worship service with confession, admitting that sin holds us captive. The beautiful thing about this garden narrative text, the first book of the Bible is not called Stupid Humans, or Finger Pointers, or The Ungrateful, or even Belly Button Sinners. The first book of the Bible in which this story lives is called Genesis, which in Hebrew literally means the beginning. From this rocky beginning, God does not leave us abandoned to fend for ourselves. For the rest of Scripture, we get to witness a narrative between God and God's people. A story of love, unrelenting love, that will not rest until all people see, hear, experience, and finally begin to understand how much God loves them. A God that will go to great lengths, even become human and die, and come back to life again to make this love story real. A God whose mercy has no ending, who forgives us over and over and over again, and who celebrates with us when we finally get it. We have a God who's committed to us, who isn't willing to just call us human subjects or servants or minions, but God dares to call us, in today's gospel, family. Recently, there's been a movement in the field of science about beginnings, that perhaps that whole survival of the fittest thing, that I am all that matters at the cost of all other life, actually isn't what causes evolution. What pushes life onward is actually an openness to change. What pushes a species forward is adaptability, a willingness to try things in a new way, to explore a different possibility. And if we haven't just experienced that in a pandemic, I don't know what possibility in adaptation is, right? We've all done this, maybe begrudgingly, against our will, but we can do it. And this openness, this adaptability, this is what being a Lutheran is all about. Because it would be one thing if we began our morning worship with confession that this belly button disease holds us captive, and that was that. We go back home to do the same patterns all over again, running from our mistakes, pointing the blame at others, hiding under the covers, and never looking deeply or reflecting on our own role in the mess. Confession asks us to tackle something deeper. It asks us to risk being vulnerable, to admit that we have made the wrong choice, and to be willing to make room for something else, to adapt to something new. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, O God, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Forgiveness empowers us to stay instead of run and find a place to hide. No longer do we have to place blame on others or sit in our corners and defend our point of view. For from this place of nakedness and vulnerability, God can usher in a different kind of power over us, a uniting and connecting power of love and grace and openness, a viewpoint that helps us see the other side not as an enemy, but as a fellow human who also needs love and grace and forgiveness. Jesus says today that a house divided cannot stand. Through the power of forgiveness, all are welcome and included in the house, a house that God calls each of us to be a part of a family and live in, where we can encourage one another to learn and evolve, adapt new ways of being God's people right now in this place, where we can fully claim who God has created us to be, our belly buttons included. A few years ago, at a Synod assembly in Minneapolis, Christian theologian, pastor, and author Brian McLaren had us do this exercise, and it's really stuck with me, so we are going to stand up. Yeah? And find your way to the center aisle. Yeah? Now, reach out your hands and let's make a big circle. I know. Post-COVID world, I'm asking you to touch each other. Goodness. Here. Make sure you can hear me. Yeah, all right. Look at this. Yeah, so the 9 o'clock were the guinea pigs. You all came together much faster. All right. Now. It's kind of beautiful to all be together in the same spot, right? In all of your separate corners with the pews, yeah? All right, now turn around and face outward. Like this. All right, keep holding hands. So this spot feels a little different, right? you feel connected and strong, and yet we're looking outward. And what I love about Faith Sanctuary is you can see outside, right? You can see cars going by on 50, maybe some birds out there. This is what forgiveness feels like, right? We can leave this place knowing that we are supported, we are loved, and we are sent out. And so, Faith Lutheran, hear these words, a promise for you. Dear children of God, you are forgiven. God loves you without exception and celebrates who you are. Go now from this place, embracing this good news, and share it with a world who desperately needs it. In your name we pray.